We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Alrighty, Comedy Alive, the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. On a Friday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here. Couple of people want to react to the conversation we had about some of the football issues and items in football at the 40s. We'll get to you in a little bit. Sit tight, and we will take calls this hour. Promise. 1-855-212-4227 as we'll jam up the phones a little bit. So let's at least insert this here. The Celtics have a lot of reason to be worried here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this really does, without overreacting, I guess we could probably look at this two ways, but the first logical way is what it does to the Celtics season. But more macro, you have to wonder, you know, is Kyrie Irving almost given an athletic death sentence in the form of a bum knee?
Well, I mean,
it's been hampered him a little bit.
Yeah, but we got to remember how this happened. This happened when he broke his kneecap 2 years ago or 2.5 years, 3 years ago, whenever it was. And he had to have surgery to repair it. When you have a fractured kneecap, you have to screw it. Now, it doesn't heal by itself. So he had screws put in, and when you put those screws in, sometimes they come slightly out. Like, I had this done on my wrist when I was in college, a Herbert screw. I had put my own navicular bone. It's a tiny little screw and a tiny little bone.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then, after it was not fully healed, I could feel it, like, nicking things. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it would be
almost like a pebble in your shoe.
Yeah, exactly. Except it's inside of a joint.
Well, the skin is the shoe.
Exactly. The difference is in your wrist, right? It's not whatever. It hurts, but mm-hmm. it's not gonna kill you. And your knee,
mm-hmm.
you know this, BT. You get pain in your knee.
Yeah.
It's like someone took a sledgehammer and hit you in the knee.
I get pain everywhere, but I hear
but you know what I mean. You get a little pain in your knee anywhere. It's like your muscles start, like, they shut down. Your muscle, like, you buckle.
Yep.
So it's different. Whereas in a wrist, you get a little pain. It's like, all right, it's just a little pain in my wrist. But when it's on such a body supporting joint, it's nothing to be it's nothing to just take lightly. And I think the biggest thing with Kyrie is he's getting swelling. And sometimes it feels like the swelling comes out of nowhere. It's because there's irritation, probably because of these screws. So they talk about this minor procedure. I don't know the full details of the procedure, but I'm going to assume they're either screwing in or pulling out those screws so that it doesn't irritate the tissue around it anymore and cause this inflammation, which then obviously puts them on the shelf.
Now, if that's the case, then they just have to pull it out or reposition it.
And
what are we looking at time wise?
It's who knows.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you're not repairing necessarily.
You're not fixing anything. You're just taking away an irritant.
Screw. But when you see, here's what
you're taking away an irritant.
Gotcha. But what people don't get about surgery, I mean, yeah, it's obvious. Like whether it's a tendon and it's sewn together. When you probe
surgery.
Yeah. Like when you go inside the flesh, there's just this residual medical, not damage, but domino effect that the surrounding area, then it becomes inflamed. There's all sorts of
There's no easy way to have a surgery.
Yeah, it's not like you're just sticking a key inside of a keyhole, turning it one way.
Yeah, agreed.
It's never quite as smooth. You're going to hit things around it no matter how good your surgeon is. It's just the way it is when you slice open the body.
This is something for the Celtics to be worried about.
Absolutely.
And it may be a short-term worry, but it is a significant worry, especially after the way that this season started and the belief that we started to put into the Boston Celtics as being a legit contender. If Kyrie Irving is down for any part of the postseason, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they get bounced in round one if Kyrie doesn't play in the first round of the postseason, simply because of all the other injuries. Let's not forget their junkyard dog, Marcus Smart. He's banged up as well, and there's a question whether or not he's going to even be ready for the postseason. There's other issues that they've had. I mean, a team that for much of this year we thought was poised to be if not the contender in the Eastern Conference, is on the verge of having a reckoning that they didn't expect.
Here's where I think they're a little lucky, and then maybe they should be a little worried. They're probably pretty locked into that two spot.
I think you're right.
They're not, even with Kyrie, with four and a half games, with a 4.5 game deficit and 10-ish games to go, you're not going to catch them in all probability. And certainly without Kyrie, you're not. You're six full games in front of the Cavaliers, and despite what the Cavaliers did the other night against the Raptors, which very well changes the way we kind of look at their season, there's suddenly an infusion of optimism, and rightfully so. They played great in the second half, held them to 50 points, put up 130-plus points, and they're starting to get healthy as well. They'll probably stay in the two spot. So if the season ended now, and I know it doesn't, but there's really three variables, well, maybe even a fourth, but I'll just keep it three. The Bucks could very well move into the seventh seed. Mm-hmm. They're a game and a half behind the Heat, okay? Which means the Celtics would play the Bucks if it was the 2-7 matchup. I still think the Celtics would win even without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I would.
I don't know if I'd say that with great confidence.
No.
Even though the Bucks have underachieved, you never know what Giannis can do. Right. I mean, actually, now that I think about that.
Yeah, we had Chris Middleton on. He's been good. I mean, quietly, he's averaging 20-5 all season.
Yeah.
Right, Malcolm Brogdon, who's not like the star player on that team, but he's been out for the last month, I think. Maybe in a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Thonmaker's still young.
Yeah,
he's got to put weight on. And then, like, even the teams around it, like, so if the Heat stay in the seventh spot, and all due respect to Spoelstra, who's done a great job, and really Pat Riley too, like, they never totally bottom out, no matter what happens.
I agree.
But I would pick the Celtics over the Heat. If it's Celtics
without
Heat,
Kyrie.
Yes.
Okay.
If it's Celtics Heat, I got a nail biter. I got the Celtics. If it's Celtics, Bucks without Kyrie, I'm going to flip that. I'm going to take the Bucks at that point.
Yeah.
If it's Celtics Wizards, and that whole backcourt is healthy.
Yeah, John Wall hasn't played in
a few weeks. But he's coming back.
But he'll be back for the postseason.
And
you
got
course.
Porter and Oubre. And I'd probably pick the Wizards. Definitely take the Wizards.
I agreed.
And if it's Celtics Pacers, who can also possibly drop from 5-7, that's a coin flip, the way all the Depot's playing.
Yeah, so it's crazy, as it sounds, as great as this season has been for the Boston Celtics, I mean, if without Kyrie Irving, they could be looking at a first-round exit, which is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way it works with injuries, man. It's teams that stay healthy in all sports, really, but particularly in basketball, where one guy can make or break your team, especially in the second season. It's incumbent for him to be healthy. So I'm glad that he's getting this procedure done now instead of continuing to wait, because for the last, I don't know, week and a half, it's been, I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to take a couple days off. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to go get a second opinion. At some point, you got to decide to go get something done to alleviate this, because waiting's not going to help. It never helps. When there's an issue like this, waiting doesn't help.
No, even when you're young and you could regenerate pretty quickly here, Broussard had this. I think it was on Fox, and he said that, you know, there's a thought that while he's certainly not putting himself out there, and Chris is a responsible. Chris is pretty responsible. I like Chris. Chris is pretty good. He's not going to just throw it out there sloppily. So if Chris says he's got a contact, I believe him. But he does say that Danny Ainge is looking more and more, you know, as worst case scenario where they wouldn't push him back. And I'm kind of parsing the words, but not compromising the message here. Where, you know, maybe next year, if it is really a problem, you know, with Kyrie, we'll see you next year with Gordon Hayward, and we'll go from there. Tatum's going to be fresh. Brown's going to be fresh. They'll be, you know, no longer rookies. They'll be starting to get a little deeper into their career. Obviously, Brown's, you know, 2 years in, and Tatum now. That's a very dangerous. It's dangerous for Kyrie's future monetarily, but it's an unenviable spot for Danny Ainge to be in. I'll tell you why. He only has a finite window with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's contract is up. I'm checking it right now. I believe it's next season.
It is.
He's a free agent the summer of 2019. I just want to verify that. Almost positive. I am. I just want to make sure I'm sure I'm right. Believe it expires after 2019. Kyrie Irving. Yeah, he's got a player option for 2019-2020. So the summer 2019, he's going to have everybody knocking down his door. Mm-hmm. And if you're Danny Ainge, we talk about this window of pouncing where you have Hayward, where you have Irving, where you have the young pups under contract. You get a chance where, you know, LeBron's vulnerable somewhat. You don't want to risk it and have it blow up in your face, but on some level, you almost have to hit the gas and go for it.
Yeah, you do, but Kyrie is so, like, I don't know. He's so chill, you can't get a sense of what's actually going on here and whether or not he would buy in. You know, the reason, let's not forget the reason that he ultimately appreciated the trade partner that the Cavaliers found, which was the Boston Celtics. It's because of Brad Stevens, who is an unbelievable head coach, right? The things that we've doubted that he could do, that he's continually done, even, you know, before Kyrie got here with Isaiah Thomas, when there was, the roster was young and nobody had any expectations, but here they were pushing into the postseason, deep into the postseason. Brad Stevens is a genius as a head coach, and Kyrie appreciates that, right? And we know, you know, from his experience with Cleveland and LeBron, he's not going to go somewhere where he doesn't find that same challenge from his head coach. That's the one thing working in the Celtics' favor.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to also believe that Kyrie wants to, over succeed what he did in Cleveland, but he wants to be the man and not have his one championship, if he should only win one, be as a sidekick for LeBron James. So I hear you. I mean, but I see it the other way as well. I think Boston, maybe to a surprise, is a great fit for Kyrie Irving.
Well, T, that's the knee issue of Kyrie. Coming up a little later, we'll do this after the blast. How about the ankles of Steph Curry and a very unique way of trying to protect those creaky joints? And when I say unique, that is code for I don't necessarily think is very smart. Wait to hear this. We'll get to that coming up. Also, the blast, as we said, 5:40 Eastern. Coming up next, though, we'll preview the Sweet 16. Who's moving on? We don't know. I mean, listen, we could try. Who the hell knows what's going to happen tonight? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. If they tell you that they know, that they're lying. Nobody knows. But we'll try to tell you what we know and try to make a little sense of it. We'll do that coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, here we are, Friday. We just count down the hours, the minutes, seconds, getting ready for the next slot of games here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Friday, fool.
Oh, man. Oh, God, we need some good things to happen here tonight, Tiki.
Yeah, agreed.
We really do. We need some good things to happen tonight.
Yeah, Kansas, number one. There's two number ones left, Kansas and Villanova, starting with Kansas here. I mean, Devontae Graham is such a baller.
Yeah, he is.
It's unbelievable how good he gets when he needs to be good. Now, the question will be whether Clemson, who absolutely destroyed Auburn, and that game was over.
God.
That game was over in the first 4 minutes of the game. You could tell by the energy that Clemson had and the lack of energy that Auburn had. You're not going to get a repeat of that. Obviously, Kansas is a much more seasoned team, has a coach, one of the best in the business. But Clemson can knock down three-point shots, and they don't do it with consistency, but when they're on, they're on. Now, that's the one thing you worry about if you're a Clemson fan, is going cold at the wrong time and with a chance in the Sweet 16 to surprise, shock another number one, and move on to the Elite Eight. It's going to be all about whether or not they're on point with their long-range shooting, because they're not a team that's going to beat you by banging the ball inside.
No, and they're coming off a tough loss. A tough win. That Seton Hall game on Saturday was a nail biter. I mean,
yeah.
Seton Hall jumped on him a little bit early. Kansas came right back. That was a full 40-minute game. Delgado, remember, he had 20 points, 20-plus rebounds.
Yep.
Fifth time that's happened in the NCAA tournament since the seeding in 79. Duncan did it. Hakeem Olajuwon did it. Delgado's a man. I mean,
yep.
That's a different kind of player. It's a totally different kind of team that they'll play tonight.
Let's also remember Graham was banged up in that season.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I look at this when I project. One thing that I try to calculate, like, because I I've said this so many times, and most people certainly know this by now, you just don't want to have, and I, at the risk of sounding repetitive, I won't waste a lot of time on it, but just to continue, just to bridge to the point, you know, you don't want to have a team rip off all these unexpected wins, then we get to the Final Four, and
yeah.
Then it's kind of, you know, it's
a
not competitive.
Conclusion, and it's terrible.
And I always reference George Mason.
Yep.
And I remember being in St. Louis that year, and, you know, George Mason didn't have great representation. Like, part of the intrigue, part of the allure, and you don't really feel this on TV watching the game Saturday or Monday night, but you certainly feel this in the city, the vibe. Part of the allure is the great representation of the fan bases.
I hear you.
And I'll tell you one thing. Listen, do I think Clemson wins tonight? I don't think Clemson wins tonight.
I don't either.
I think Kansas wins probably relative. I don't think they're going to beat them by 20.
No.
I think they'll win kind of handily and probably tuck this away with 5 or 6 minutes to go. That's my guess. We'll see.
But if Clemson ever found their way to San Antonio, they're coming, and they're coming big.
Yeah.
Like, that fan base would invade
San Antonio. I
agree. San Antonio.
And look, it's a sports school. I'm trying to think. Have they, in my lifetime, have they been to the Final Four? I don't think.
Not for basketball.
No. But my point is, it doesn't even matter, because the fan base, which has been so energized from the football program, is still the same fan base.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And so I can see them embracing this wholeheartedly and making the trip. So you're right. Even though this isn't a huge upset, five over one is not huge, it would feel huge because Kansas has, you know, at one point been the top team in the country and playing in the toughest division. It's why they fell out of the top number. Has been so resilient all season long and continuing to push and push and push. And when it matters, they make the plays that ultimately get them to where they need to be.
I can't wait for this Villanova-West Virginia game.
Yeah.
If I had to watch one game tonight, this is the game that I'm picking.
Yeah, of course.
This is the game that I'm picking.
It's an offense that has, talking about Villanova with Bridges and Brunson, these guys are Wooden Ward candidates. But then on the other side, all West Virginia does is force turnovers, man. They're so maddeningly frustrating. 18 turnovers they forced against Marshall in the second round. It's all because how aggressive their defense is. So this is a game that matches a team that likes to shoot the three with a team that doesn't like you to get free looks.
Yeah.
And so it's a perfect matchup of offense defense. Who knows what the other sides of those look like? Meaning Kansas Villanova's defense versus West Virginia's offense. But the strengths that we're looking at, Villanova, then from range and West Virginia from an annoyance standpoint, is going to be pretty compelling.
You know, and it's reflected in the seating, of course, and their pedigree. But one of the problems with Florida State, just to bring it back to Florida State Gonzaga for a second, is that Florida State was all over the map this year.
Yeah,
high performance, peak out, then they get rubbed out by 20 plus points a few times. We've documented that. But the thing about Villanova, so they lose four times this year. I mean, Jay Wright, really. I mean, what they do without a real foot. I know they have a football team, but yeah, they don't have a football, big football budget. What he does there is nothing short of brilliant. They lost four games this year. One was at Butler, tournament team, who won the first game they played Butler, by the way. Then they lost at the Garden to St. John's. And St. John's, you know, bad season, but some pro talent. And the Garden's, you know, crazy. Pardon me, that was in Philadelphia. I'm thinking of Duke game. That was down in Philly. But that was also right. That was the day after the Eagles Super Bowl. And it's funny, there weren't a lot of people at, usually 20,000 people go to watch Villanova.
Yeah.
It was a little cavernous that night. It's the only time that I haven't seen it sold out like that. But St. John's has a few players, is my point. They lost at Providence, and they lost at Creighton in overtime. Creighton's a tournament team. Mm-hmm. Providence has been there four or five straight years with Coach Cooley, and St. John's has a kid who's probably going to the first round next year if he goes back to school in Shamori Ponds. I mean, that is just incredible consistency.
No, you're right.
It's amazing.
No, he's a Coach of the Year candidate every year. Seriously.
I'll tell you, if Brent Brown, if the Sixers would have woefully underachieved this year, I thought the avenue, and I always thought that the avenue and the window, that would have been prime
time. Think he wants to do that?
I do think he's going to want to scratch that itch at some point, and I think he will.
Because he's never,
no,
never been.
But he was on an NBA bench. He was on the Sixers bench.
Yeah.
Wait, was it? I know Cal was on the Sixers bench for a year. Was Jay? Let me see. Hofstra, Villanova. I'd have to. I feel like Jay was an assistant for a year in the NBA. I know Cal was. I'll double check. And then obviously Cal coached with the Nets for 3 years. That program is amazing. And you know what? They balance great academics, very rigorous academic standards. It's a Catholic school, so it's just Villanova's phenomenal.
Yeah,
they're a model program.
I've never been to their campus down there.
That's beautiful.
Is it?
It's a nice campus.
What do the athletic facilities look like? And this is what BT's talking about when he says there's no football program. When you have a football program that brings in a ton of money,
you got the facilities.
You got the facilities, but you also, there's excess football money that actually supports the entirety of the other athletic programs.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have that, even though there is a football program, it's not big time.
No, it's not. It's Howie Long played there, by the way, for those who might not. And Westbrook,
Brian,
right?
Westbrook,
and Westbrook played there, too. So I'm not trying to say they don't have a team, but I mean a team that cranks out $20, $30 million in profit, like Bama or Florida State or something crazy like that. The facilities starting next year, they're going to be great. Kyle Lowry just donated $1 million. You were reading that story. That went down a while ago. The locker room, I believe, is going to be named after Kyle Lowry moving forward. The pavilion was charming. That's why they played all the games at where the Sixers play this year. They haven't played a campus game this year because it's under renovation. It's going to look, it's going to be superb.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact amount. Maybe Mike, can you check out how much money Villanova pumped into the new thing? I know Kyle gave $1 million, yeah, but it's going to be superb.
Well, here's the thing when you think
I've
about
it. I've seen renderings like, of it. It looks great.
I find it odd that Jay Wright, after building this program the way that he's built it.
Well, Rolly, don't forget about Rolly Massimino.
I know, I mean, but over the last,
yes,
whatever it is, you know, how many long? Eight years.
He's been there. I think my first year doing St. John's was the first year that he was coaching.
Oh, wow, that long?
Yeah, yeah. That was the Mike Nardi team when he came from Hofstra. So I want to say, because I remember they beat our brains in, I want to say it was 03 or 04, his first year at Villanova. He's been there a long time,
that's
man.
Like 15 years.
Oh, yeah, Jay's been there a long time.
So you would think that
Alan Ray and
starting to reap the benefits, the facilities and everything else, that he would bounce. That would, I mean, just think about that. I mean, because it that kind of happened when I was at school. UVA obviously is a program, football program, that hadn't reached great heights. A couple years they were in number one. 1 year with Terry Kirby and who was I forget the quarterback. Sean Moore. Oh, Sean Moore and Herman Moore. Terry Kirby was there as well. But after we left, after my class left, it got all brand new, like new locker room and everything. And it's like, man, I wish we could have had an opportunity to be part of what we helped build. That would suck for Jay Wright to leave, and then it just becomes beautiful down there. You know what I mean?
$60 million they're pumping into this.
60.
And by the way, it's not like the old facility was destitute.
No.
It's not like it was just, you know,
yeah, still,
an old 1977 YMCA league.
When you walk back into something that you helped build.
Sure.
And you never actually got a chance to.
Yeah, but if he leaves, he's leaving willingly. He's not getting fired.
Oh,
so
I
he
know.
Wouldn't lament. He'd be proud. It wouldn't be like
sadness. Yeah, but
sadness. Still,
wouldn't you want to hang on? Just
I don't think he's leaving this year. I'm just saying, if like Brett Brown would have bombed with Philly.
Yeah, I know.
Then I think the window would have been there. He's going to coach in the NBA someday. And I think he's going to coach the Sixers. Mm. I mean, he's a Philly guy.
That's actually not a good, I guess, prognostication about the 76ers. Because they would have to underachieve in the next couple of years, and it feels like they're heading the other way than that.
Yes, it would be going against the grain, or at least the direction in which we all view them.
Yeah,
and we hope
like
that doesn't happen. Scott O'Neill, good friend of the show, we've known Scott for years individually. Great guy, the president down there. Brent's done a really good job, and you know what? We'll get the update from Mac here, but that is a message in prudence that every rebuilding team should abide by if you believe in your vision and you believe in the person you hire, because it just does, you know, when you're taking your lumps and you're winning, you know, 14 games, and especially in a city like Philly, they're calling up WIP. They're lambasting you. They're crushing you. You've got to have the steel chin and the conviction to remain married to your vision, and I'm sure it wasn't easy down there.
Yeah.
It was not easy while they were getting knocked around. But they've come out relatively unscathed on the other side. They're obviously going in the right direction. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. We've got the blast coming up and a new shoe for Steph Curry. Is it sensible or is it a little risky? I don't like what he's doing. We'll tell you what's up. Here's Zach's update. Rich. Okay. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question. Got a couple. Let's go with Anthony Riggs at @A_Riggs9. Is there a more overrated coach, in the NBA or college basketball than John Calipari?
I don't think he's overrated.
Who gets more talent and rarely wins titles.
Yeah, but
I mean, under that recipe or under that equation,
he did win the.
It's hard to really knock that one.
It's
Bill
true.
Self has come up small a lot as well.
True.
Well
yeah.
chronicled. How about Sean Miller?
Sean
Miller.
Yeah, you're right. But Calipari does it. He's got a different philosophy, and it's difficult, obviously, because it's all freshmen all the time. But surprisingly, he did win the SEC title this year, the tournament title, which nobody saw coming. And then he's still alive right now. Which
No, Cal's out.
I mean, no, he's just out now because obviously he just lost yesterday. But you know what I mean? He was alive until the Sweet 16.
He's got to get to a Final Four, Sean Miller.
I agree.
He got to get to a Final Four.
Agree.
I mean, Cal's got the championship.
I agree.
Would have had another one with the free throws.
How many years has it been for Sean Miller, Arizona?
With Memphis. How many years? Oh, I mean, I feel like Sean Miller has been there 9 years?
Nine.
Maybe Mike Adell. I think it's 9 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Right? think, and you know, the conference isn't very good. You have great access to great players out there on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he wins 30 games every year. And that's the other measurement. If you just rip off conference titles and you're a one or a two seed or a three seed every year and you don't get to a Final Four, that's a colossal underachievement. It's harsh, but it is what it is.
8 years, 9 years, Sam?
I said 9 years. Is it nine?
What year? 2009 he was there.
Okay, so there's 9, 10 years, whatever it is, something like
that. Never been to the Final Four there.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. We'll get to the blast, but before we do that, a couple of minutes on. You want to do the blast first, you want to do the Steph Curry? You know, let's do the Steph very quickly on this, then we'll get to the blast. We're on time here for once. So Steph Curry is going to play in low tops, low-cut sneakers.
Now, why would you do this?
I've got a thought, and I think it's a dangerous one. I think he's putting business in front of health.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing just dropped. His new Curry, what is it called? The Curry 5 Low? Well, seriously, the Curry 5 Low was unveiled last week, March 14th, on his 30th birthday. And it's got like almost like a 5/8 of an inch, kind of like a silhouette. It's unique. It's not like a flat bottom 1970s Keds. I mean, there's obviously some traction and some variation and some shaping that I would hope theoretically protect his joints. But maybe he's trying something else, but the quote is very strange. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I'm looking at this shoe. This thing provides zero ankle support.
I don't see any, right?
No.
He says, these shoes are an evolution in my signature series. Okay, here we go. Dropping business lingo on us. And engineered to work in tandem with my braces better than any shoe previously. So I guess it's more common. You can wear the brace underneath. You can wear these shoes. He says, I wanted to switch it up a little bit with a light shoe that could help me spread the game and speed it up for me, he said. It's kind of ironic that I made the switch this season considering my ankle issues, but this shoe is stable and engineered to maximize my performance. I will still wear my ankle braces, but I have total comfort and security in my new shoe.
I wonder how much. I mean, I didn't play basketball, so I don't know this. But I remember early on in my football career, I used to wear the low top, like the wide receiver cleats that had no ankle support.
Okay.
Because they look cool. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, you got to look good.
You could spat your foot up, your shoe up. It's like, hey, man, this looks cool, right? I look like I'm a badass out here. And I just kept getting ankle injuries. And I tried to wear braces. Braces never fit correctly, right? They do, but they're so bulky. And it doesn't really feel like they're, you know, directly affecting the joint. You know, so
would you get it taped up and put the brace on and put the shoe, or just the brace and the shoe?
I would just do the brace because that was it'd be too much. Then.
Gotcha.
So
unless your alignment or something, I got you.
So I ended up switching.
Okay.
To the high tops or the three quarter tops.
Yeah. And now the style comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Little three quarter cut high top fade.
But then I just get my ankles, you know, heavily taped, and so that was always more comfortable. I mean, I remember trying to play in ankle braces, and it was so uncomfortable. It didn't matter. So looking at Steph Curry trying to sell a shoe and not protecting his ankle, that's kind of irresponsible, if you ask me.
Oh, man. Low cuts in the NBA?
I mean, a lot of guys do it, but a lot of guys have
struggled. A lot of guys do it?
A lot of guys wear low cuts. Seriously.
A lot of guys wear low cuts in the NBA?
Check it out.
Really?
Check it out. Because I know Carmelo does, and I'm always surprised by it.
There's no way I could believe he's sacrificing his health for his shoe. Like, I understand that his shoe is a property and it means a lot, but, like, he has to, like, have tried on all the different shoe products and be like, you know what, based on my braces and based on what I want to be doing, this is the best option for it. There's no way he's putting shoe sales over winning a championship in his legacy. There's no way I could believe that. Like, maybe... Like, you're talking about these ankle braces, Tiki. That was 12, 13 years ago. Yeah. There's been advancements in ankle braces.
Of course.
Right?
But they still look bulky and big, though.
Sure. So maybe that's why these work better than a high top. Maybe, like he's saying, it doesn't fit well with a high top or a three-quarter top with his ankle braces. I can't believe it. There'd be no, in my mind, even though, like, what you're saying, it sounds like, oh, it sounds like he's got to be pumping the shoe. There's no way in my mind I can believe that Steph Curry is choosing his shoe company over his legacy and his champ. He's a multi-millionaire. He just was in a $2-point-something billion bid for the Panthers.
You going to talk the rest of the show here or what?
Yeah. Hey, we're good. We're chill, man. We're good.
Hey, by the way, do you think he's going to wear these the rest of the... That's the real question. Does he switch back before it's over?
I think because, he switched back.
But then that's counterproductive. It looks worse for the brand.
I know.
You give it a shot. At least if you don't give it a shot, you leave the notion out there, well, maybe I can wear them. If I do wear them, oh, and now I've got to change because they don't feel right. Now you're really taking knees out there in terms of selling prowess.
You're right.
You know? Hey, March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS and CBS on the go with March Madness Live or listen on Westwood One. You ready to blast?
Yeah, let's blast.
Let's go. Give it a microphone so I can hit you with a blast. All right, Teague, Alden Smith, good God. Let's lock this young man up and let him find his way, but don't let him out until he finds his way. Arrested again. Who is the biggest waste of talent in all the sports? Wow, that's a good question, Mike.
Is this a finite answer? If it's a still defining answer, meaning their career is done.
Gotcha.
And they can't.
Oh, finite. I got you.
They can't resurrect it. I'm going to say it's not a finite. I'm going to say Josh Gordon so far.
Josh Gordon.
Think how amazing he is, but he's wasted the last couple of years.
He's wasted,
so he can fix this. But I'm going to say right now it's Josh Gordon.
He's left a lot of. He may have left Canton.
I agreed.
Somewhere other than the football field. It's an interesting one.
Play 14 games and 1,800 yards receiving.
led the league. I got one for you that nobody would probably think about because his pinnacle was really high.
Who?
Should have been so much more. Mike Tyson. Should have been so much more for Mike Tyson.
But at least he was a champion.
I understand that.
For a while. But he could have been the all-time greatest ever.
He's not one of the five best boxers. No, he's not even one of the top 10 boxers of all time. I mean, in terms of recognition and earning power, he is not one of the top 10 boxers of all time, and he should have been. He was destined to be that until he just crashed. I got you. I know you busted. I wasn't done yet. All right, so the Grizzlies lost by 61 points. Now, why can't I bet these games? Never stumble on these wins here. Are they the worst team in the NBA? Who should they draft? You know, the thing about some of the worst teams, like the Suns are bad, but you want to watch Devin Booker.
Yeah.
You want to watch him play.
The Hawks are in a full rebuild.
The Hawks are terrible.
But they're in a full rebuild. And,
they are.
And Schroeder's awesome, so.
Yeah, the Magic have some young players. Even with Russell back to the Nets, they're a little intrigued. Without KP, the Knicks are unwatchable. Markkanen for the Bulls. I think they're the least interesting team in the NBA right now.
Mike Conley's been banged up all year. He's not playing.
I think they're the least interesting team in the NBA. Mm. I it would be really hard to sit down and watch the Grizzlies play for more than seven straight minutes.
So the question is, who should they draft? I mean, they got to move Gasol, so they got to get a big man. Bagley? I mean, seriously, I mean, who do you go get? Hope Mike Conley stays healthy.
They just drafted Dylan
Brooks, though.
And we like Mike Conley. Gave him $130 million. Come on, man.
I know. But
ankle issues and 30 years old, bad deal. You almost deserve it. And we like Mike. I really do. He's a winner, and he's really a good guy. That was an irresponsible deal.
They paid him on sentiment.
Partially, they did.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Just draft a difference maker.
Yeah.
Don't reach. Don't try to stretch. Just identify somebody that's going to put some people in the seats. Make you interesting again.
And don't forget about Chandler Parsons. The shout out for no reason at all.
how many people do you think get that?
Not very many.
But that's okay.
It's all good.
They got to catch up, man. So the Kings game was delayed for protests blocking the entrance. Should it have been canceled?
Wow, this was interesting. We saw Vivek Ranadive, the owner, speaking afterwards. Actually, maybe it was before the game.
I think it was before the game.
About how important this issue was. But a lot of people weren't able to get in because they literally had a human chain protesting around. That's a little bit unfair to the Kings because they didn't have anything to do with this particular issue. But it was I liked what he said. Should they have canceled the game? No. I think the protest outside and the emptiness inside said a lot.
I love what he said. I think he struck the impeccable balance. I thought he was superb. And it wasn't just like 10 words. He expounded. He was very good. I agree. I do not think it should have been canceled because the protests were peaceful.
Yeah.
Nobody was in trouble. If there was an element of danger, then sport becomes very – I mean, sport's always secondary to life, clearly. But it seemed like there was great symmetry between the police and the responsible protesters.
Agreed.
They even let them on the highway.
Agreed.
So I thought it was handled well. Sad, incredibly sad, but handled pretty well. Aaron, it's funny. I was just blasting the Nats for maybe yesterday. I got into this for maybe batting Bryce Harper first. Now my Yankees look like, well, they did bat leadoff Aaron Judge, maybe for the rest of the season. What are our thoughts on this? You know, I don't like it. I mean, it's really this. But the one difference between Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge is that, you know, Aaron Judge is on base 46, 47% of the time. Bryce Harper does not have the same on-base percentage.
Yeah, and there's nothing but power behind him. Nothing but it.
Yeah, you can sacrifice a little pop
right.
with Judge because you've got Masters in succession.
Yeah.
At least three or four guys who are going to hit 30 home runs. So it's unconventional. No, I don't like it. I understand it more than if the Nats did this. I still say I don't like it. Bat him second.
Do you think that he can change his approach at the plate to not strike out 250 times?
If it means he's not going to hit 50-plus bombs?
Yeah.
Don't change a damn thing. An out's an out. It doesn't matter if I line
but
out.
But isn't the point of the leadoff hitter to get on base?
The point of any hitter is to score runs.
Hmm.
And when you hit a ball 475 feet, you know, and the exit velo is 118,
yeah,
swing to bat. You're going to strike out a little bit. I think we're okay with that. How about this, Teak? Ohtani appears to be the fifth or the sixth starter for Mike Socia's Angels. How long do you give him struggling before you make him mostly a hitter? You want me to go first on this?
Yeah, go ahead. This is your world.
I got you.
You never make him a full hitter.
Here's the problem. He's got a powerful agent. So if you don't handle that, I'm forgetting his name. It's a powerful one. He represents a lot of players. And if you don't handle this properly, meaning if you send him to the minors or you don't deliver the promise that you told them before he signed with you that he could hit and pitch,
yeah,
that will adversely affect you with future clients down the road.
Yeah, good point.
So you got to navigate that. Let's see what he can do. He should. If they send him in the minors to start the year, even though he probably deserves it, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, no, they have a. It's interesting when you look at their lineup here. Garrett Richards, Matt Shoemaker.
Richards is very good when he's healthy.
I agree.
He can pitch.
Tyler Skaggs, yep. And JC Ramirez are the rotation guys that are listed. And that's only four starters.
Yeah,
so
they're toying with the idea of six.
Yeah.
As were the Mets, but now Wheeler's hurt.
Yeah.
You know.
Ohtani, it makes sense. You got to get him into the action and real action just to see, and then pull him out of that starting rotation role, maybe a spot starter, and let him work that way. But I don't think we had this conversation with whom?
Chipper Jones.
You know, where his money is going to be made, it's not going to be at the plate.
I don't think so. He's got a loopy swing.
It's going to be on the mound.
Okay, there you go. But think about part of the sales pitch that they had to Ohtani.
No, you're
right.
The
Yankees were thought to make a move. Seattle, obviously, great Japanese ties there.
That's a huge part of it, BT. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't say we're going to give you this opportunity and we're going to do this, and then you back away from it.
You can, but then future clients,
they're not going to believe you.
Ain't going to play for you. You know. All right. Baseball's 6 days away. I want to say. I can't wait. Oh God, I love baseball. Santer's such a big baseball fan. He was telling us the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Watched one game last year.
You watch an opening day, Santer?
Hell no.
And
he's
a big
baseball fan.
There was no, you know, it's always a little different when you're a kid. I remember for about 2 or 3 years, I would feign being sick, like the whole light bulb on my head.
Yeah,
I have a fever, and you know, I fooled my mom a little bit. Got by the time I was like in fifth grade, my mom's like, stop. You can stay home and watch the Yankees and the Mets today. It's okay. It's not a big deal.
I think I had a perfect attendance. I feel like
your
I
whole
did.
Life.
I feel like I did. Oh, maybe I missed a couple of days for like a track meet or something. That was excuse.
You never got the chicken pox?
I didn't.
What are you immune to illness? What are you in Rondé Robots?
No, I just think it was well timed. Chicken pox in the summer, which sucks, but whatever.
Oh, you got them during the summer.
I don't remember ever missing school.
Oh God.
Especially not intentionally.
Those are my best memories.
Hell was I going to do? I mean, my mom wasn't home.
We watch TV. You play Atari like we all did.
But I do that anyways.
Yeah, I guess.
Southwest Virginia didn't have the extracurriculars like Brooklyn.
I hear you. But still, the common difference is, or the main difference, not even the main difference, you liked waking up and going to school, and I despised it. I tried to get out, and you tried to find ways to get in. Enjoy the game tonight, Teak. Have a great weekend, brother.
You too, my friend.
Thank you, and we will see you Monday. Enjoy the hoops tonight. Peace!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.